Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
All I do is win. I'm dodging in life on top.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, I think that's what this offseason has been about.
Jay Glazer said he still wants out.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Earlier on the show,
NBA columnist for The Athletic, Sam Amick.
Coming up,
ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Actor Ray Liotta. Colts defensive tackle DeForest Buckner. Plus actors Martin Sheen and Luke Wilson. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of this Friday show on the air. 844-204-RICH. Number to dial on NBC Sports on Peacock. This Rich Eisen Show, terrestrial radio affiliate. Sirius XM Channel 211. Odyssey. We're streaming live and for free every single day for your ear gate coast to coast. We're on YouTube at Rich Eisen Show on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. We are unavoidable. Soon to be coming to TikTok. Sorry, TJ Jefferson, that's going to happen. Next week, my 12-year-old son, Xander, who's out of school, will be calling into the show and telling you why we should be on TikTok. That's going to happen. I think I can book him. How are you, Chris Brockman? Good to see you over there.
Great.
Mr. Feller is in for Mike Del Tufo, who's somewhere doing something. We've got a lot to get to on this show. DeForest Buckner of the Indianapolis Colts calling in hour number three, and then two stars of a new football film called 12 Mighty Orphans, starring Luke Wilson as the coach, and based on that famous book by Jim Dent, based on a true story, plays the role of Rusty Russell, who's largely credited with creating the spread offense.
Wow.
And his assistant coach, played by Martin Sheen. They're zooming in together. Ray Liotta of the new Soderbergh film, No Sudden Move, is joining us in 20 minutes' time, so you don't make any sudden moves. Joining us right here on the show is one of our favorite guests from the worldwide leader in sports in the Monday Night Football booth, and one of the best voices talking football on TV is Louis Riddick back here on the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm better for talking to you. You always make me smarter. I enjoy our chats. I say that right up front.
Yeah, I hope so. I don't know about all that, Rich.
I love it. Well, you know, one of my favorite
talks, man.
One of my favorite coaching cliches is I don't have a crystal ball, which means you don't either. But how do you see the next 6 weeks in the Packers Aaron Rodgers saga playing out, Louis?
Yeah, I think Aaron's going to be doing a whole lot of what he was doing just the other day, which is hanging out, maybe having maybe making a few statements now and then to some of his buddies in media, playing some golf. And the Packers better be doing exactly what they're doing right now, which is trying to figure out how to make sure Jordan Love is ready to go. Because, Rich, the more this goes, the more I see that the Packers have kind of dipped into the petty pool, as I like to say. Like, they want to go back and forth and have these. And, you know, and Mark Murphy in particular, I shouldn't say the Packers, this really just seems a Mark Murphy issue, wants to make these comments about Aaron. Aaron's not going to sit back and take that lightly, so he's going to make as many comments as he needs to in retaliation. It just seems like a situation that's going nowhere fast. And I think getting all the way back to why we're even here in the first place, I think it's because of this kind of thing that we're seeing playing out right now, which is a failure to communicate, a breakdown in a relationship. It's really not, it doesn't seem to be any more simple, any more complicated than that. And it doesn't shock me. I've seen it happen before in my time, both as a player and in front office. When communication breaks down, especially when you're talking about star players, man, that's just not a good recipe for healthy relationships in today's day and age, because players are demanding more and more. Player empowerment has become the norm. It's not the exception anymore, especially with the top upper echelon players. And it's going to be that way across all sports. Football couldn't avoid it. It just couldn't. I mean, all we do in our profession now is talk about how the game is better, and it's better for us to talk about when quarterbacks are at the center or the centerpiece of the discussion. Well, here you have one who's a lock to be a Hall of Famer, and you've got someone at the highest levels of an organization getting into like a petty little like fight with him. Well, I shouldn't say a petty fight because this is a big-time fight, but someone who right now can't seem to kind of manage a communication breakdown in an adult-like manner. And that's just that's disappointing, but it's going to stay in the news. We're going to continue to talk about it, but it's going nowhere fast.
Well, the question is if the communication from Green Bay at some point has been, and I'm sure we can agree that it has been, the question has been posed, what do you want? What do you want? And the question, the answer that might come back is something that the Packers can't literally or figuratively give. The literally thing is turn back time. They can't do that. Yeah. We can't get into the football DeLorean and set the time and date for the 2020 NFL draft. Can't do that. Also can't get back in the DeLorean and set the time for this past winter when potentially, if this did in fact happen, that the Packers did put a contract on the table for Aaron to sign as an extension, but did not give the terms and the dollars that would force them to make a move with Jordan Love after Rodgers is done with the gig. Can't go back in the DeLorean and do that if that pissed off Rodgers either. Can't go back in the DeLorean and fix the Jake Kumerow situation. Can't do that. And they're not going to fire Gutekunst if that is in fact what Rodgers wants. They're not going to do that. What is it?
The only thing that I think inevitably what's going to happen here is he's not going to be there. He's just not. And I don't think, you know, I don't necessarily think he wants to get in. And I like that. I mean, I don't think he wants to get into DeLorean, that being Aaron. I think sometimes, Rich, it just gets personal. It just gets to the point where you just say with someone or something, I'm done with it. I'm done. There's nothing. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't. Because quite honestly, while the breakdowns were happening, you didn't want to talk. You made your bets. You forecasted the future in a way that obviously turned out to be wrong. And in this case, they thought Aaron was turning downhill after the 2019 season. They thought that he had already crested the mountaintop and it was all downhill after that. And he has said many times that he threw a monkey wrench into their plans with the 2020 season that he had. He just did. He screwed up the whole timetable for them. They thought they could get another year out of him, and then they would be able to usher in the Jordan Love era. And it would be nice and smooth, and they would control it. And he messed it all up for him. And you know, a guy like that, he doesn't want anybody controlling anything. He'll tell you when he's done. He'll tell you when it's time to move on. He'll tell you when the relationship is over. That's just how he's wired. I don't have any problem with that. I mean, I get it. You know, I've always said, look, egos don't bother me, man. Everybody at this level, at the highest levels of whatever you're doing, have the egos. But they had a different agenda than he does. That's the problem. It's agendas that blow this kind of thing up. And I think he is just going to ride this thing out. He's going to lose a lot of money.
Yep.
And the Packers don't have to do anything. If you want to look at it from their standpoint, they don't have to do anything but get their team ready. The inflection points are when the season starts and then the trade deadline. And then after that, it's the draft next year. Those are the three key inflection points that Aaron is staring at right now.
So what about Rodgers? Because, again, the other thing the Packers aren't going to do is trade him now and allow Rodgers to improve for the team that acquires him the draft choice that the Packers will have to accept right now in a trade. They're not going to do that either.
Right.
So, but if we waved a wand and just said, you know, the Packers decided to say, screw it, this is just not worth it. It's not worth it. He's a complicated fellow. Let's give the complicated fellow what he wants. What team would actually provide Rodgers with the 2021 lightning in a bottle that Brady enjoyed that might have also added to the agita to this mix?
Well, I really do think, based on, you know, the stuff that you hear when you put your ear to the ground, that Maybe Denver could do that. Just think of the weaponry that they have, the improvements they made on the offensive line, the people, you know, who they have running the football, and then the weaponry they have on the perimeter along with a defensive-minded head coach who can scheme it up and play top 10 defense on a consistent basis in Coach Fangio. And you have a GM right now who clearly, from all indications, is very interested in what's going on with Aaron and is very interested in talking if the Packers really do want to talk. And why wouldn't that's a legacy type of franchise out there. That's one of those pillar type of franchises that has been a destination spot for many players for a long time. Now, obviously, they don't come with the same cachet as they have in the past because they haven't had the same success on the field. But the Denver Broncos, look, that's a team that makes you sit up and go as a player, hey, this is one of those franchises that demands respect, that has my respect, that I need to really investigate and look at here as being a place that I would want to go to if you're a guy like Aaron Rodgers, especially, again, considering what he would have to work with out there. And he can make all the difference in the world with that young receiving core and that young nucleus, especially on the offensive side. I think that's exactly what they need, a guy like him.
Monday Night Football's Lewis Riddick here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ron Rivera said today that Ryan Fitzpatrick, who knows, he could be the starter here for a bit. He used the words for a while. He could be the guy here for a while. Do you think we have an opportunity with the way that team is molded on defense and the weapons that they do have, that he could actually have a late career renaissance similar to what we're seeing elsewhere in sports? He mentioned, obviously, Brady, and Rivera mentioned Brady and Phil, and you know, obviously, Rich Gannon could be another one, right?
Sure.
From back in the day with Gruden.
I think it's, with Ryan, it's never about can he give you certain snapshots of greatness, and he's done that. It's the consistency, and look, consistency of performance, as you know, is the difference between being a starter and a backup, the difference between being a starter and a superstar, a Hall of Famer. It's can you maintain that level of performance over and over and over, year after year after year. Ryan can do it for 5-6 games, which really is the quintessential definition of a backup if you were to read an NFL scouting manual. A guy who can fill in for 4 or 5 games, hold down the fort until a regular starter comes back. And he'll probably win you 3 of those 4 games, keep you above 500 in the time that he needs to play. So for Ron to say, hey, look, he could be our starter for a while, well, he hasn't proven he can do that at any of the stops he's been at in his career. That being said, I think Washington's the favorite in the East, easily, to me. And people go, you're crazy. It's got to be Dak. Look, it's Dak, and it's Zeke, and it's the weapons, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, 1 through 52, I don't have any issues with the Redskins roster. The issue, if you want to call it an issue, is can Ryan sustain performance well enough to where they're a 10-win, 11-win football team? Because if they can get that out of him, where he doesn't cost them games, at the very least, he doesn't cost them games. Washington is a problem because they are built to win early, middle, late season and be able to win in the postseason because of how they're strong up front, they're strong down the middle. They've added weaponry on the outside that now can beat you with big plays and or a ball control type of offense. And you know their front four up on defense will come and hunt your quarterback down if they have a lead, and they're building up the secondary to where it looks much better as well now, especially with the addition of William Jackson in free agency.
In the 2 minutes
Washington's for real.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. In the 2 minutes that I have left here, it's not the passing game coordinator's job to announce a starting quarterback, but what'd you make of Brian Schottenheimer in Jacksonville's comments that it's too early to name a starting quarterback in Jacksonville?
Man, I don't know why coaches do that kind of crap, man. I really don't. I'd love to know what Urban said to him, like, either before he went out there to talk to the media or after. I'd love to know what he said. Like, what's wrong with you, man? I mean, what do you mean? This isn't a competition. Urban came back to the NFL to coach this guy. He came back to the NFL because this guy would be available, not because Gardner Minshew would be there.
To beat him out, or give Gardner a shot. Gardner a shot.
I mean, you know what? See, that's what I'm saying. See, that's what gets media people salty and testy. Then. And then all of a sudden, they want to start poking at you because it's like, stop BSing me, man. Don't do that. That's insulting me as a professional, and it's making you look dumb by doing that. And I like Brian, but hey, I don't know. Maybe he was told to say that. I hope not. But I don't know.
So again,
it's funny.
It's not a wide open spot for me. Now I got to see if it's a wide open spot that Minshew could take. Now I definitely want to see him on Hard Knocks. Now I definitely want to see
him.
You know?
No doubt. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's just, you know, coach. That's the very definition of coach speak that we don't need, man.
Lewis, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. Have a good summer. Let's chat. Let's chat just before training camp. Let's do it.
No question. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Lewis Riddick at L Riddick ESPN. I follow him. He's a must follow. Fantastic. That's funny. So I guess I'm safe if anybody's sending me any article of clothing for me to eat.
I would
later on
probably
this year.
Say I mean, so. Yeah, I mean, 99.9%.
I can even come up with a different way, a more palatable way to say this ain't happening than say, I'll just send me any article of clothing with your swamp ass or whatever, and I'll eat
it. You
want
to spend 24 hours at Waffle House?
Could do that. What a great thread that was. If we have time today, we'll talk about it. But we do. Later on this hour,
yeah,
let's hit that. And then I'll give you my 2 cents on the Washington football team. But Ray Liotta is going to join us next.
Oh, baby.
The Emmy Award-winning actor from Goodfellas. And now, No Sudden Moves coming up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
What was it like shooting that scene with Joe Pesci, the famed scene about I'm a clown, did you at some point, when you were in the middle of that, think he is potentially being serious with me at any point in
time?
Well,
what happened is we were doing rehearsals. And we had 2 weeks rehearsals, which is unheard of for a movie. That happened to Joe. So we were just talking, and Joe mentioned about this experience that he had at a restaurant in Queens. And he said something to the guy, and that's, you know, he said, oh, you're a funny guy. And the guy turned on him, and then only to be a joke. And Marty really liked that idea and thought, you know, it would be great because I think it happened. I've only seen the movie twice.
That's it?
Yeah. So I think
I've done that in a night, by the way, Ray.
You what?
I've seen it twice in a single night in my life.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That's nice.
Yes, I'm not the only one. I mean,
can you do my lines?
Which scene? What do we got?
I don't know.
You didn't think I'd give you that answer?
No, I didn't. I can come back on you and say prove it, but where was I?
So you were saying about the Pesci scene, the clown scene.
Oh, so he told that story.
Yeah.
And then so Marty said, all right, why don't you guys just try to improv it? So we, you know, for a few times, we went back and forth, and then Marty started shaping it, and then he said, all right, this is how I like it, and then we put it in stone. Then it became part of the script. And then we only improvised, we did it a couple times, and then at the end, it got quiet, but Marty didn't turn off the camera, and then I said, you know, you really are a funny guy, and that's when he got up and did the gun, and so that was made up on the spot.
That was ad-libbed, where you say, yeah, you know what, yeah, you are yeah, a funny
yeah.
guy.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fantastic. I mean, I could speak to you about this all absolutely the whole night. I mean, actually do that. I'm sure you must. Do you get that a lot? Certainly walking around maybe in New York City specifically?
Yeah.
You do get that a lot?
A lot of people come up. What happens now, which is I was just at my daughter, who's 16, her friend plays lacrosse. So I like to go watch her friends play. And I was watching the lacrosse over at Pally High. And an 11, 10-year-old kid came up to me and said, I really love Goodfellas. I said, whoa, what kind of parents do you have, dude? That's like just not right.
Maybe the Hills could be Henry and Karen Hill.
Could have been.
You know?
All different ages, though, come up now. So
it's nice. It truly is incredible. It's one of those two where I just flip it on. I've got it no matter where I pick it up. It's a dropping of the remote and clearing of the schedules just to end it.
Oh, man. That was 6 years ago, first time that Ray Liotta appeared on this show in studio, and he's about to join us once again right here on the Rich Eisen Show here on NBC Sports on Peacock. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for that old school segment on our program, and everything else, our full archives are right there. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio broadcast, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We just showed for our Peacock only segment the last time Ray Liotta was on the show, 6 years ago in studio. And I have a Goodfellas movie poster in the green room that I got at an auction, a charity auction at a golf tournament, literally 20 years ago. And he signed that along with Scorsese and Pesci and De Niro. And he came out and said that his signature was fake.
Fugazi.
Oh, my God. And now he's back here on the show. The man who played Henry Hill. And by the way, Shoeless Joe Jackson, one of the greatest sports movies of all time, Field of Dreams, the Emmy Award winning actor who is in the new Soderbergh movie, which always has me at hello. Then you see the cast that's surrounding this man, Don Cheadle, Benicio Del Toro, John Hamm, Kieran Culkin, Brendan Fraser, Bill Duke, and Ray Liotta, who's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir? How you been?
Good, and you? Did you put the poster back up?
I put the poster back up. It's got your new signature on it with the old one crossed out that you just like, you know, with your initials on it. It's up on the wall. Damn straight it is. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, including where you bashed it with a hammer to try and open it up back in the day. We put the glass back up. Ray, you are immortalized here in this studio. No doubt.
All right, good. Good. It'll be worth more money now.
I love it. How's everything? How you been? Life's good for you, Ray?
Good. Yeah, can't complain. I mean, after the past year that we had,
right?
There was a lot of rest and relaxation, whether you wanted it or not. But now things are picking up and working away.
This movie, No Sudden Boo.
What about you? Did you guys work?
We've been on the air pretty much. You know, last year during the pandemic, didn't talk much sports, obviously, but now, you know, knocking on wood, we're back in the mix. Everything's awesome. Yeah. And then, I mean, this new movie that you are in that's going to be hitting exclusively, premiering HBO Max on July 1st, Soderbergh. Is this the first Soderbergh movie you've been in, Ray? Were you?
Yeah. That was the main reason why I wanted to do it, too, to work with him. He's one of the few directors that cover different genres.
Right.
And he just knows his stuff and knows what he wants, so it was great working with him.
Okay. Is there any connective tissue similarities between him and Scorsese that you can throw out from your experiences, Ray?
Well, I think when they read the script and they know what it is that they want. They don't write shot lists per se, but in their head they know. I'm sure it feels like the movie is edited in their head as we go along. So what we film, it might not feel complete, but he knows he just wants to use a certain part of it. And in that way, and Marty too, he does different genres, but they're just they have a vision, and they're involved in every second of what's on screen.
And what direction does he give you, Ray? I mean, how does he, you know, communicate with you and work on a character like that for a movie like this one set in 1950s Detroit?
Not much. He's quiet about it. I think he takes his time casting. He casts people that he feels that are right for the roles. This isn't exactly new territory for me in terms of what I'm playing. So he just kind of, you know, he works behind the camera. He's the camera operator, so he sees things in a very unique way. But he doesn't say much. Marty was the same way. They're not sitting there giving you all kinds of direction, as opposed to just letting you go and seeing what you bring to it.
Ray Liotta here on the Rich Eisen Show. Few minutes with the Emmy Award winning actor. No Sudden Move, premiering exclusively on HBO Max on July 1st. Directed by Steven Soderbergh. In the segment we just showed of your last appearance 6 years ago, you said you've only seen Goodfellas twice. Is that still that number? 6 years later? You've still only seen it twice?
I've never seen Field of Dreams either.
Come on now.
Whoa.
All right now. now, right? You know, if we weren't, you know, somebody who know each other for this amount of time, those are fighting words to a man like me. Right? I'm not going to lie to you. Those are fighting words.
They're what?
Those are fighting words to a man like me. Those are fighting words. What do you mean you've never
I'm
seen?
Not a fighter. I've only been in one fight my whole life.
What fight is that, Ray?
In seventh grade. That was it.
That's it. Okay.
It's true.
All right. So, really, all right. Instead of asking you why have you only seen it once, but how did you come about Field of Dreams? How were you offered the role? Did you know at the time that this was going to be an iconic sports film, Ray? Walk me through that, if you don't mind.
Well, you don't know at all. I remember I read it, and that was only my third movie, and I said, this is so silly. This guy, he's hearing voices, and he's got a cornfield, and he makes a baseball field, he removes the corn. I just could, at that time, because I never wanted to do this stuff, so I wasn't like movie aware and saw lots of movies. It just kind of happened in college because I didn't want to take math. And so when I read the script, I just thought it was the silliest thing. And obviously, I was wrong.
So, and then you're playing Shoeless Joe Jackson coming out of the corn, and going through it. It was how much time did you spend in Iowa for that, Ray?
Probably like month and a half.
Have you ever been back to Iowa? Is that the only time you've?
I was disappointed because during the pandemic, the Yankees and somebody else were going to have a game in the Field of Dreams in Iowa. And that never happened, obviously, because of the pandemic. But I was going to go to that, and that would have been really cool.
No kidding. You were supposed to go to. You were supposed to make an appearance at something like that. For years.
Yeah, it was a regular season game.
Right.
It wasn't like exhibition. It was a. Huh.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So, man. So you've never seen it? Would you? I mean, you're not even curious about seeing Field of Dreams? You're not even curious because everyone talking about it?
Yeah, it was just more of a personal thing. My mom was sick at the time. We sat down to watch it, but she couldn't really enjoy herself, so we left, and I don't know, I just equate it with that. I will someday, maybe.
Well, I'd love
to watch myself a lot.
Well, I'd love to watch it with you, Ray. I mean, you know, not to invite myself over to your house, but, you know, that would be amazing. That would be something. I'll do something like that. So, all right. So this is a fun. This looks like a total blast, like a fun movie that you enjoyed doing when you were on the set. And I can't wait to see it, Ray. I know you're at a junket and you got lots going on, but this is something I look forward to seeing. And I'd love to have you back here in studio at some point.
Yeah, it's. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for the call, Ray. You be well.
Okay, Rich.
Okay, man. You got it. That's Ray Liotta, everybody. At Ray Liotta. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show on Instagram. I can't believe he's never seen it.
That kind of blew me away. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know he said he had some personal things at the time, so maybe he kind of equates it to that, sitting back to watch. But even only seeing Goodfellas twice.
That's incredible.
Yeah, Chris, I think you were on, you were speaking, so you might not have heard. He did say what you just said. There was, I think, that thing with his mom just kind of made him like, I don't want to put these two things together. So that kind of explains.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there were days I would watch those movies twice in the same day, like you said, like, or twice in a week. Good. I mean, Field of Dreams, I can recite beginning to end.
So I just love that he remembers bashing my movie poster with a hammer. And again, I can't wait for everybody to see this movie. It is just straight up fun Soderbergh movie making. And the cast is truly incredible. It's just straight up July 1, what you should definitely do to just check out a movie, a nice summer fare, just sit back and enjoy just a good time. And just seeing Ray Liotta, as he said, it's not a departure, his film role, not a departure for him.
Right.
We'll get Ray back in here in studio at some point and just go right down the old memory lane from back there. And here's an interesting thing too, Chris. You know, I don't talk about this sort of stuff a lot on the air, but I'll bring it up again. This movie poster for me means so much. Goodfellas is a top five movie for me all time. And Ray Liotta's performance in it is one of the greatest movie performances I've ever seen.
Amazing.
Okay. And the movie poster being autographed by De Niro, who may be my favorite actor of all time, and Scorsese, who's my favorite director of all time, and Ray Liotta, whose performance may be one of my favorite performances of all time. And then the one, the only, Joe Pesci, autographed by all four. Now, here's the problem. Ray Liotta says his was fake. That's understood. He said he couldn't determine if the other three are fake. We have an autographed boxing glove from Robert De Niro in studio. Doesn't match what's up on that screen.
They are not the same.
I don't talk about this stuff a lot, Chris, but you know the golf club that I am a member of here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I know who's a member there.
Pesci.
Yes.
And he's there a lot.
Did you bring this up?
Not yet.
Oh, my gosh.
And the question is, you know, I'm a new member.
Right.
I don't know if talking about it even on a show like this is like Fight Club. Yeah. I don't know. I might get a letter in my locker. I don't know. I doubt it. But, you know, I have a straight line to Joe.
Yeah, of course.
And I need to take a photograph of his signature on the wall. And at some point, like, do you just say, hey, I know you're making the turn? Or there are times where I might find myself on the same tee box.
Maybe wait until after Joe's had a couple martinis after, you know what I mean?
Now that seems like a bar situation. Hey, I've got this right here.
I just need to show you something real quick.
I need to show you something real quick.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yes, of course I do.
Okay.
I'm now hoping all four are fake. Don't you think that's better for the story?
It's way better for the story.
And in terms of just what's way better for the story, it's the same thing where TJ, if he had won The Price is Right, it wouldn't have been nearly as good as us.
Yeah.
Continually bringing up the fact that he walked
out with just a ping pong table and a popcorn machine as opposed to a brand new car or two brand new cars, one from his pricing game, one from his showcase.
Two motorcycles.
Telescope.
There's a telescope up for grabs?
Electric bike, too, right?
Two electric bikes.
Yeah.
And a trip to Florida.
I mean, that would have been great. I mean, we could have talked about, we could have been, hey, have you ridden your electric bike yet? Or, hey, have you gone to Florida yet? No, it's much better to say, you didn't take the middle key.
That's why I did it. I did it on purpose.
No.
No, you didn't.
I'm now hoping that all four are fake. All four have to be fake. Actually, probably, you know what it is? Probably one of them is real.
I would bet Scorsese's is probably real.
One of them is real, and somebody said, I'm going to jack up the cost of this thing, and I'm gonna autograph the three stars.
And so they looked up online, like, what, you know, their signature might look like.
I'll never forget
Ray
Liotta telling me that it was totally fugazi. Totally fake. So were they having a Field of Dreams reunion? Is that what they were having when he said that he was going to go to that?
Was that last year?
How has he never seen Field of Dreams?
I don't know, man. That was maybe one of my favorite movie growing up.
It would be so amazing to, and without getting into this story because it's long and I'm gonna name drop, but there is an actor who we all know. I actually got a chance to watch one of his movies with him randomly on TV, and he gave me like color commentary as the movie went on.
Sort of like when the old DVD set,
director's commentary. Right. So imagine being able to sit there with Ray Liotta and just watch this movie.
How can we set this? How can we make this?
Either one of them would be amazing.
I don't know. We know Ray's people. We could do that.
We have to do that.
Yeah. Give him some Chantix. Bring him over.
How you doing, Hendry?
So you watched.
It's a story.
You watched Ted with Mila. Is that what it was?
Now, there is a funny story about that. But again,
should we keep trying?
What is the Vegas one with Ashton? In Cameron Diaz. I like that movie.
I mean, I saw that movie, but
yeah. That's not the one.
That's not the one I'm talking about. Okay. No. Like I said,
I would play this game with TJ Jefferson every day, all day.
Amazing story, and we'll save it for another day.
Well, you just brought it up that you're very you have famous friends.
We have
some
time. I mean,
like, what's
this is not about me. This is about Ray Liotta and us wanting to watch Goodfellas and Field of Dreams.
And No Sudden Move, premiering exclusively on HBO Max on July the 1st with Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, David Harbour, John Hamm, Kieran Culkin, Brendan Fraser, Bill Duke, and more. We'll take a break and come back and dive into that whole segment of this whole thought process that Lewis Riddick threw out there about the Washington football team being the best team in the NFC East. I love it. That's coming up next.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen. Okay, we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show. So this was a Twitter exchange that caught many people's minds, Chris. We'll hit it here and we'll talk about it as well on our radio segment as well. A reporter for what appears to be he's a print reporter named Lee Sanderlin. I don't follow him. He doesn't follow us or the show. But this popped in my timeline. He was in Brandon, Mississippi, yep, at a Waffle House. I, a total loser, came in last place in my fantasy football league. And as punishment, he has to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House, but every waffle that he eats shaves an hour off the clock.
Right. Daryl was locked into this last night, and we were watching Holy Moly, so I wasn't really into it, and then I kind of went back and I saw the whole thread and I'm like, my God, this is tremendous.
And then he starts, you know, reporting about the waffles that he eats and how, so it turns into like a mixture of, you know, gonzo journalism, Hunter S. Thompson style about somebody going into a slice of America and living a life and reporting on the experience. And then part supersize me, you know, like a little Morgan Spurlock. Like, what happens if you eat McDonald's for a full month? What happens to your body? And so, because he talks about how the waffles are not sitting well with him. Like, literally, I mean, he gets deep into everything about this process.
Yes.
And
a few came back up.
Did you see? I don't know if we have. I should have asked beforehand. There he is. They're not looking too good right there. Quick to the bushes outside, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's saying. Like, where did it come out? Like, out the top?
I think the top. Yeah.
Okay.
I think the top. Yeah.
Did you see? I don't know if we could pull it up, but there was a tweet of his fantasy team.
Oh, it was so
terrible.
So bad.
It explained why he was in last place.
Yeah, that's why he was at the Waffle House, man.
Because
God bless Ben Nygaard, who's been with our show since Jump Street, helping book definitely the sports guest side of things. Thank you, Ben. He said it was the first time in his long career as a show booker, as a booker for various shows, first time in his long career that he called a Waffle House looking for somebody. We offered Lee to call in. I guess he said he's got to write a piece exclusively for his employer before he comes on this program. But congrats to you, sir. And draft better. That's the moral of the story. Draft better.
Way better.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. We just walked through for our Peacock audience, and what many of our radio listeners perhaps were following the thread that popped up yesterday.
Yeah.
Of a fantasy football last place finisher being punished by spending 24 straight hours in a Waffle House. He's in Brandon, Mississippi. I don't know if he's from there or they just chose, like, you've got to choose a Waffle House in this town, in the state. I don't know if
they agreed upon.
Exactly. I don't know how he wound up in this particular Waffle House, if it was vetted by the entire group. Which sounds like that it should be, like, he shouldn't just choose wherever it's got to be. Does he live in Mississippi? Did he have to take a flight? Did he have to pay for the flight himself? Imagine. There's so many questions.
So many questions.
Because clearly, if you finish last in fantasy football, it's on you.
Yes.
We had Jared Goff on last year. Remember when he was a Los Angeles Ram?
Mm-hmm.
I did.
And so we had him on last year, and he talked about how he was in a fantasy league where somebody had to go to the North Pole to Juneau, Alaska, or something. Yeah.
Gnome.
No.
Where the
somewhere in Alaska.
Yeah.
Right. This is one of the most incredible fantasy football loser stories I've ever heard.
Because he had to spend
24 hours in this Waffle House. However, he didn't have to spend all 24 hours there. He could spend less time there by consuming waffles.
Yeah. Right.
He said that each waffle he consumed would shave an hour of his time off. So one waffle in, you have to spend 23 hours there.
Yeah. Right.
So again, I'm not a math guy. If you eat 12 waffles, that means you only have to spend half a day there.
Yeah.
Correct.
12 hours.
Correct. What would your strategy be behind this? Because I was thinking about this morning.
Yeah, like, we were talking about
Would you go for the gusto right away? Would you maybe hang out for an hour or two so you work up an appetite?
Well, I would fast going in.
Right.
I wouldn't eat for a long time going in.
He started at 4 in the afternoon, which I feel might have been a mistake.
Is, I wouldn't have anything to eat until 4 in the afternoon. So the first, waffle would be like the greatest delicacy on planet Earth. Yeah, it would be the greatest,
But would you go double
medium
stack,
rare filet
maybe
that's out
four
there?
Four right away to try to, get it down to 20?
Oh, absolutely.
And then just kind of maybe 1 hour until you're out of there?
I don't know, because I'm watching this guy go through it and I'm thinking to myself, this can't
miserable.
Be that tough. It can't be that tough.
I don't know how you could only eat 4 waffles in an hour and a half. I mean, they are kind of big, though.
4 waffles in 90 minutes. And again, like I said, that this was kind of like, again, I'm this is paying a writer the ultimate compliment. Hunter S. Thompson created, in many ways, gonzo journalism,
yeah,
where
like
basically
this, right.
He would go and have an experience and then write about it. He would just write a book about it, right? Or he'd write a Rolling Stone article about it.
Yeah, exactly.
He would have an experience and he would write about it, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is one of the greatest gonzo journalism pieces of all time.
Right.
Then he covered a presidential election. I think it was the 72 presidential election that he covered. And then he just would talk about who he met and what his, and then what drugs he took. And it was every single read that he made was incredible. This was kind of like that. Like if Twitter existed, Hunter S. Thompson would have the greatest Twitter account of all time. Like his real time. So I saw it was kind of like a gonzo journalism piece meets the documentary Supersize Me. Like what happens when you eat crap food? All due respect to the Waffle House. But don't finish last in this league, man.
Nope.
Waffle House tweeting out, sounds like someone won his fantasy football league, not lost. Well done at Waffle House with a blue check mark.
Well done. Well done.
Very well done.
Did your guys' leagues do stuff like this for last place?
No. We don't. And it's funny. We don't do that. We don't do that in our league.
We just have like a toilet bowl. So like.
No, it's just your league just punishes everybody by having no time limits.
Right.
Seriously, honestly.
You did walk into that one.
This guy ate more waffles in an hour and a half than sometimes picks are chosen in an hour and a half in your fantasy league.
Not far off.
Right?
Not far off.
Like sometimes you can go an hour and a half in your fantasy league draft and there's only been 4 picks and this guy consumed as many Waffle House waffles in that time period.
Not far off.
Yeah. At any rate. Lee Sanderlin, whenever he's ready to appear on this show, we've invited him to come on to talk about
his experience. Shout out to that guy.
The Washington football team, Lewis Riddick says, is the team to beat in the NFC East. I agree with him. I said that a few weeks ago, too. The way that defense played last year, the way that they would put you on your ass, there were no yards after catch with them. They would get you and they'd put you down. They could tackle, they could play. Del Rio had those guys, helmets to the ball, and they had them putting people down. And Chase Young can win Defensive Player of the Year. And if they make you grind it out, and if they say give up only 2-3 touchdowns, let's say they give up 2 touchdowns in Philly. It's 17 points. Fitzpatrick, Mr. 400, 500 yards with Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel, Antonio Gibson, right?
Offense is
just
stacked,
to name
man.
A few.
Offense is loaded. It's just, do you believe in Fitzpatrick for
more than four, five, six weeks?
And
that's
like that.
This man's challenge. That's this man's challenge. His challenge is got to be, I've gotten to this point in my career. I've had a successful career. He has had a successful career. The fact that he's still doing it is remarkable. The fact that he's still doing it at this age and performing as he is doing is remarkable. And it is terrific. And we do, you know, we just went moments ago over this guy who finished last in his fantasy football league sitting in a Waffle House, and his Twitter timeline goes viral yesterday talking about eating waffles as penance for being the worst fantasy football team in his league. This is a fantasy football world. So Ryan Fitzpatrick in this fantasy football world is more well known than ever before and is more beloved than ever before. And he does have a certain style and panache and flair that people flock to, not just in his own locker room, but from television sets and the way that he lives his life. It's fun. He has fun. My gosh, it's fun. It's so much fun. He looks like he's having fun. And he's got more chest hair sometimes than he does on his beard. And he shows it off during press conferences and putting on glasses. And his whole cosplay is next level. But for his next level, it's got to be sustainable. It's got to be. Boy, what an opportunity for him at the end of his career. For somebody who's only gotten opportunities when people have gotten hurt, and that football God seemed to keep allowing this man to have opportunity knocking on this door, and he has always put himself in a position to answer that door when opportunity knocks. Put those things together. He's gotten to this point in his career. But now, forget about when he was the starter in Buffalo or the Jets when he was with them and had a season that was on the brink of a playoff spot until he threw a ton of interceptions in Buffalo one day. Forget about when he had his opportunity with the Texans or with the Rams or with just, I mean, go on and on and on.
Miami last year.
Right. Forget about that. This is his best chance. This right here. A defense that is young and ready to roll. And two speed burners from the Ohio State at his disposal and a running game at his disposal. And a tight end who is ascending, and Logan Thomas, former quarterback, at his disposal. And Gibson isn't the only running back that's there in that running back room. And a coach who knows how to win, two-time coach of the year, and a defending division champ. That's why I understand Dak is coming back, and they do have Amari Cooper and Gallup and CeeDee Lamb and Zeke. And Tony Pollard, if you want to talk about the rest of the room, running back room. And they have that. And they have a new head of their defense, new defensive coordinator in Dan Quinn, who's going to rah-rah the hell out of that team. And they're going to play better defensively. But I do believe Washington's got the best chance to win this division. It's theirs to lose. I would agree with that assessment. And on top of it, don't sleep on a team that almost won the division last year. I'm going to say it. The New York Giants. Next week, we're going to have a segment about football shrug emojis. You know who's a football shrug emoji? The New York football Giants are a football shrug emoji. Dude. They've got Saquon coming back from a knee injury. They've got the best number one free agent wide receiver chose the Giants and vice versa.
Yep.
And Kenny Golladay. Okay. They have Evan Ingram, who everyone is waiting to become to join the Kittle, Kelsey,
that guy
group.
So frustrating.
Everybody says he's got that ability to be one of the best tight ends in the business and join the conversation as one of the best, most versatile tight ends in the business. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The rest of the wide receiver room also has a rookie in it, in Kadarius Toney. What if he's got Justin Jefferson-type impact? What if he's got that sort of big play ability impact?
Sterling Shepard.
It's all right. And
good players, man.
Right. So yeah. Put it all together with a defense that was beginning to gel and a head coach that clearly was having his selling bought last year. Never know about that. You got the Eagles, too. I don't mean to just leave them as the hanging chad there, but new head coach, and I got to see what they're doing. I'm not saying that they have no shot in this division. It still is the NFL. But it's Washington's. And it is Washington's. Laugh all you want.
Yeah, sir. I'm going to laugh because this is a 39-year-old journeyman quarterback.
So what?
Well, we're praising Tom Brady. Like, we're saying that, like, 40, no one gets to that point. So you're saying Ryan Fitzpatrick at almost 40 is going to be able to.
Why not? Because
he's shown no. I mean, when has he ever done this?
When has he ever done what? Gone from week one to week 17? And won as many games.
Yeah, I mean,
he's played
16 games three times or twice in his entire career.
I know. That's why he's got to, whatever he's doing, calibrate it in just a certain way. I don't know what that is or how you can do it. If he does that, stays healthy, doesn't, like maybe it's like two or three times a game, you see that window and you go, yeah, maybe not. Live for the next down. Live for the next down. Yeah, maybe not.
I mean, he is who he is.
I know that. I know that he's got to this point, but man, do they have it all set up for the, and look, let's be honest. This would be the spot that would put Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. This would be the spot. Forget about Denver. This is the spot that would put Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. But there's no way the Packers trade him in conference. Not a shot in the world.
You don't like that? You don't like Aaron Rodgers with Washington?
Let's be honest here. You want to talk about a veteran hand that would take this team to the Super Bowl and win it all? Like, this is the version of Tampa. You know, and I know Evans and Godwin were Pro Bowl receivers, but and McLaurin and Samuel, what have they done? You know, I know that. But this is the team that I think Rodgers could come in and boom, take it to a very deep run. But there's no chance the Packers trade him in conference. And there's no chance the Packers trade Rodgers before the season. No chance in that. I don't believe there's any chance of that. I really don't. Because why would they trade him to a place except the draft choices now? And they know they'll spend the entire season watching the draft choice that they acquired for Rodgers get worse and further away down the clock, because Rodgers is going to make them a better team. Denver last year with Drew Lock chose top 10. This year with Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater, maybe they'll choose anywhere between the cusp of top 10 to the middle of the first round. Give them Aaron Rodgers. See ya. That's part of the reason why the Packers are like, yeah, we'll just not pay a salary, keep that money, pocket it. We wanted to get to Jordan Love right around now anyway. It's probably a year earlier than we wanted, but that's the way it goes. And then Rodgers, we'll see you, you know, we'll trade you next offseason when we'll send you to a team that we know is going to be choosing where they choose, because that's set in stone. Which is why I don't think they'll trade him before the season. But I'm kind of taking everything that we talked about at the top of this hour and taking it to the end of this hour, that I do believe the Washington football team is winning this division or has the best chance to win this division, and it is theirs to lose because they are set up and have a veteran quarterback whose time may be now if he can somehow calibrate his game to be more sustainable than we've seen throughout his career. But this is the spot that if Rodgers showed up in, he could have his Brady-type year in 2021 that Brady had in 2020. But that is fantasy. Is mere fantasy that's similar to what put that dude in the Waffle House. DeForest Buckner, Luke Wilson, and Martin Sheen. How about that for an hour three grab bag? Coming up. What's going on? What's going on at the United States Open? There's a Richard Bland at the top of the
Old Richie Bland is 4-under today.
Tell me more about this Richard Bland, Christopher.
Well,
tell me more about this.
He's English.
Dickie Bland is what you call him?
Dick Bland.
Old Dickie Bland.
Is he? He's English.
He's English. Yeah.
So that's why he goes as Richard, or he could go with his old Dick Bland.
Old Dick Blaster. I'm not sure what he prefers.
I remember Carl Ravitch used to refer to, and Carl and I think DP used to refer to the old Indians pitching coach Dick Pohl as Richard Pohl.
Yeah.
They used to refer to him as Richard Pohl.
He has six birdies today, two bogeys. Bogeyed 18, which is a lot of guys are scoring nicely at that hole.
Well, you said DeChambeau.
DeChambeau eagled.
Eagled 18? But I'm seeing eagled out there 18. In a featured group right now. Is he still playing?
He started on the back. He started on the back today.
He's just such a big dude.
He's 3 under today, 1 under for the tournament.
Oh, and a nice shot off the hill, and he's on the green. Well done. That was a beautiful play right there. Look at that. All right.
The cut line right now projected at +2, which would leave some big names on the outside.
What do you
looking
got for
in.
Me? Who are those big names on the outside?
Hideki Matsuyama, your Masters champion, is 5 over today through 11. He's going to have to get it going. Victor Hovland, Tony Finau currently over. Dustin Johnson, 4 over today through 10. He is struggling as well. Phil is 4 over. He does not tee off until 1:36 local time. Spieth is 5 over, though he's 1 under today, so he's going to have to get it going on the back as well.
Some of these shots look like the Open Championship.
I've never
played. The British Open, as I called it.
I've never played Torrey Pines. So
but you know, you see, how overcast it is.
Yeah, big time.
Right?
Big time.
But I'm beginning to see the marine layers burning off, the June gloom's going away.
This course is playing very long. I think it's playing 7,800 yards, which is
Father's Day weekend coming up.
Monster for US Open.
All right, so that's what we'll talk about as well in hour three. You said, do I defend my title of best dad ever?
Best dad ever, yeah.
Okay. I've got 2 cents on that.
I mean,
subject,
I feel like I've had a pretty good year. I'm just saying.
Really?
Brockman.
You want to go? We could go resume to resume.
I mean, I've kept him alive. I think that's a huge win.
Okay. Yeah. That's good.
Thank you.
That was her biggest job right there.
Yeah.
Oh, that is job one. That is job one. That's I would job, agree. That's job, job, one. Job one. Of parenting, yes. That's job one.
Rule number one, keep them alive.
There's about a million other jobs that I think he's failing at, but we'll talk about it.